Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tony, let's go. That's right. Tony is in full space command of the show because Herb just like took off. He left to like the 21st. He ain't coming back.
I miss Herb.
We all miss Herb. He'll be back. He just had a bunch of vacation days that he had to burn before the end of the year. I don't know what he's doing on vacation. I feel like he's only hanging out in Wheaton for vacation. But he will join us. But we are in good hands with young Tony Gill, who's one of the hosts of the Bulls podcast that we have here on The Score, which is tremendous. And trust me, if the Bears weren't good, I'd have a lot to say about the Bulls. A lot. But the Bears are good, which means that we're going to keep the conversation on them as they get ready for the playoffs. Greg Gabriel is getting ready to join me. I love talking with Greg because he gives a lot of perspective. This is a guy that's been around the NFL for four decades. He spent 30 years scouting in the league, nine scouting for the Bears as their director. He knows where all the bodies are buried. He's one of those guys where, you know how like in a movie, like there's always like this guy who like just knows stuff. You're like, oh, we should talk to him because he knows stuff. That's what Greg Gabriel is. And he joins me now here on The Score. Greg, Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, Lawrence. How much do I owe you for that intro there?
Hey, man, I'm all about making my guests look and feel great when they jump on the show. But it's true. Everything I'm saying is definitely true. Before we get to the Bears and the Eagles, I'd love to know what you think about the idea of the Packers interviewing Pat Fitzgerald.
You know, when you look at it, first of all, there's a big connection there. Mark Murphy, who is the CEO, president of the Packers, was at Northwestern, and if I'm not mistaken, he hired Fitz to be the head coach. And so there's a friendship there. There's a working relationship that they've already had. And, you know, there's very few coaches, I think, that are as good as Fitz. I think the world of him as far as his coaching talent. He does, and I don't mean to say this in a way that, you know, it's a slap at Northwestern, but he does more with less at Northwestern than I've seen any coach do at any school. He doesn't get the recruits that Ohio State gets, that Michigan gets, yet he always puts a competitive team on the field. They're very well coached. They're very well conditioned. They're disciplined. They pay attention to detail, and that's what you want in a coach. He's a leader, and you can't take that away from him, and that's what the NFL, head coach in the NFL has to be a leader, and that's what Fitz is. So I think, you know, does it happen? Who knows? I mean, it's got to be a right fit for Fitz, and it's got to be a right fit for the Packers, but it's something that I would think he needs to investigate and talk about, only because he'll find that just going through the process, that alone is interesting, but he's going to find out a lot about himself in going through that process.
If you were Fitz, would you be at all worried about having such a strong personality in Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback?
No, I don't think so. I think, though, let's just move fast forward on this thing and say, let's say he becomes the head coach. The key then is, and this will, you know, a lot of this stuff will be taken care of in the course of the interview process. Key is, who's his offensive coach is going to be? Who's his coordinator? And has, you know, and I would think that if he's interested in this job, he will have some names put together before he goes up and speaks to those people in Green Bay.
Okay. All right. Well, this will be interesting to see. With all the coaches that are being fired, was there anything that surprised you today?
No, not really. You know, the only thing I tweeted this out this morning. It's I understand where the fans come from. The fans, especially if their team isn't doing good, it's like with the Bears last year. They want blood. They want the coach gone. But having worked inside in an office and where you have friends and these friends get fired, and it doesn't only affect the head coach, it affects all his assistants. Now, when I started in the league, you know, most teams had maybe 8 assistants. Now they got 16 or 17. So it's affecting a lot of families, wives, kids, everybody, you know. So it's a tragic thing for them, you know, and they got to go somewhere else. And granted, when you get into the coaching profession, you kind of expect that. Often you're only at a place a couple years at a time, but still you want to pick and choose yourself where you end up going, not necessarily because you got fired, and then you have no choice sometimes of where you end up next.
I know that you know a lot of people around the NFL and college football. Is there a coaching candidate that's out there that we're not talking about but should?
Well, to me, it's a no-brainer, Dave Tope. And I can't say that you guys haven't talked about him. I know the list came out from the NFL of potential guys, and for some reason, Dave wasn't on that list. Dave's outstanding. And, you know, he has coached mostly special teams, but he has experience coaching on the defensive side of the ball. You know, the unique thing about a special teams coordinator is that he has to work with, you know, both offensive and defensive players. And so, he has to actually do a lot more as far as coordinating than the offensive or defensive coordinator, because he has to fit all these pieces together and have it work properly. You know, and you go back, and he was on Andy Reid's staff back in Philadelphia. John Harbaugh was special teams coach, and Dave was the assistant. And then we brought Dave here. Harbaugh goes to Baltimore as the head coach there and has great success in Baltimore. So, I mean, it's not like it hasn't been done before, yet I think it's been the last 2 years he hasn't even got a sniff. And basically, I think that's a crime.
Do you think that Vic Fangio will find a head coaching job this time around?
You know, we might have talked about that once before. Does he deserve it? Yes. And should he interview for a number of jobs, or should a number of teams want to interview Vic? Yes. I think what works against him is his age, and it's only because of, and it's not fair, it's just the way it is. It's, you know, only because of his age. The teams have been going after these young guys, and, you know, like Matt Nagy, Sean McVay, and so that's been the trend in the NFL, and you're trying to find the next McVay or find the next Nagy. It's hard to do. You know, those guys don't grow on trees, and they're not going to be available every year. But, you know, because I think he's going to be 61 next season, you know, that could work against him. Like I said, I think it shouldn't. It shouldn't be held against him. But, you know, when you're hiring a guy, and we both know that this is really a stupid reason, but you're hiring him because you say, oh, he's going to be our coach for the next 10 years. Well, how often does that happen besides seldom? But, you know, I think he's very, very deserving, and I'd love to see it happen. I think he'd be a great head coach.
You can follow Greg on Twitter at Greg Gabe. He'll fight you on Twitter. He will absolutely fight you on Twitter. If you're coming at him, he will come right back at you. Let's talk about the Bears in this season. What's impressed you most about what Matt Nagy has done so far?
I think how quickly they came together as one unit and won as quickly as they can. We, you know, we go back to August, Lawrence, and none of us thought this team was going to win 12 games. You know, and now, you know, they're the third seed in the playoffs. They very easily could have been a second seed if they just paid a little bit more attention to detail on the road. But when you think about, you know, the pieces or the parts on the offense, especially on the offensive side of the ball, this was new to all of them. It's not like these guys played together. The only ones who played together before, you know, for any great length of time was guys on the offensive line. All the skill guys, and Jordan Howard, but all the skill guys are pretty much new to this offense. And so they had, and it's a difficult offense to learn. They had to learn that offense and become good at executing the plays. And it's not an easy thing to do. And, you know, you go back, people who've been in this offense at Philadelphia or Kansas City, you know, they tell you it takes years to really learn and be good at using this offense. And I heard Matt Nagy say a couple of weeks ago, you know, Mitch is basically in grade level 101 with this offense, but he's probably going to jump two grades between now and the start of next season because of all the experience and the success he had this year.
And it'll have an off season to kind of digest all of that stuff too, which is really, really helpful. It's different from like install, where you're a new coach comes in, you get this new playbook, and you're like, okay, I have to get myself ready to be able to run a practice, versus I know what plays work, I know what the concepts are, and now I can spend my summer learning.
Right, and you know, you go back because of the rules, which I think are stupid, but because of the rules the NFL has with the off-season programs, you know, and who knows if any rules were bent a little bit, but Mitch wasn't supposed to get the playbook until the beginning of the off-season program. You know, that's, you know, now he's got it. And he can spend between, you know, however long the Bears go on this journey through the playoffs, from the end of that until the beginning of the off-season program, he has time in which he can work himself and study himself the offense and work on things that he thinks needs to be taken care of where he can improve. And that's something he wasn't able to do this past offseason, especially in regards to what he's being asked to do within this offense.
So, all right, the Bears go 12-4. We've talked about Khalil Mack and his impact. Did you think that we would see that impact play out through 16 games? Like, it wasn't, you're thinking, okay, the Green Bay game, boom, he explodes on the scene, he has a great game. But in almost every game that he played, you could see how he is a difference maker.
Well, first of all, he's special, and there's very few special, real special players in the National Football League. And then I'll go back to the day the trade was made, Saturday morning, and I think it was a little after 7 o'clock in the morning that word came out that this trade had either been made or was about to be made. And I tweeted out, I think within a half hour, I said, this trade makes the Bears legitimate playoff contenders, if not NFC North favorites. Of course, I got killed by, you know, Green Bay and Minnesota fans over the course of the next few hours, which is fine. But, you know, I've been around great players, and I think on your show and other shows, I compared him to Lawrence Taylor, and I was with Lawrence Taylor a good part of his career in New York. And I think they're similar type players in the way they play and the way they can dominate the game and the way they're going to make other players around them that much better.
So here we are with the Bears getting ready to take on the Eagles. What do you think of the Eagles' run that they've been on, 4 out of their last 5, to get themselves in a position to be a playoff team?
You know, I think it's a great testament to the character of that football team. A lot of people left them for dead 6 weeks ago, you know, and they had no chance. And then Wentz goes down and Foles has to come back in, and I don't know what it is with Foles, but he just has a way of putting a team on his shoulders and carrying them through adversity. And he's done a remarkable job, and it's going to end up making a lot of money for him this offseason once free agency starts. And, you know, they're going to be a formidable opponent. But what I think is really interesting, and it could have been mentioned, it might not have been, these teams, when you look at the two head coaches, they're close friends. They know each other very well. They were brought up in the league as coaches. Their only previous, both of them, their only jobs working before Doug became the head coach at Philly, and Matt before he became head coach here, the only guy they ever worked with was Andy Reid. And so that's the offense that they have been brought up under. And, you know, I would dare say that probably 75 to 80% of the playbook is identical. You know, terminology is the same. It's really how, you know, how your tendencies are, how you use the playbook, how you use certain plays. But a lot of it, you go through it and say, oh, yeah, that play, they're all the same. So I think that Matt's knowledge of Doug and vice versa is really going to play into how this game ends up. And you know that Doug is going to tell the defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz, at Philadelphia all he can about what Nagy likes to do and what he doesn't like to do, and vice versa. You know, Matt's going to be in Fangio's ear about what Peterson likes to do.
What do you think of Jim Schwartz as a coordinator?
You know, I really like him. I met him years and years ago. We played Tennessee. He was the defensive coordinator. It might have been just a defensive assistant, I think, at the time at Tennessee. In fact, he was assistant. I think Greg Williams was the coordinator at the time. We played a game down at Tennessee, and we were on the field. You know how everybody gathers during the warm-ups and talks and exchanges pleasantries, and we're on the field talking, and that was the first time I met him, and very, very impressed with him. I think that, you know, he had a rough go at it in Detroit, not all his fault, because I don't think he was making the personnel decisions, but then after he got fired there, he goes to Buffalo, has a great defense in Buffalo, and he goes to Philly, he has a great defense at Philly. Guy knows how to coach defense, and he knows how to put a lot of pressure on an offense. He's got plays that wide nine, 4-3 front, and he's, you know, they're going to come after Mitch Trubisky next week, and you can count on it. And that could be the key to the game, is how they block the Eagles' blitzes and defensive line.
This hour is being brought to you by Pontiac RV. I'm in the middle of a conversation about the Bears with Greg Gabriel. Follow him on Twitter at Greg Gabe. What have you thought about how Trubisky has come along throughout the season?
I really like his growth. Just it's almost unmeasurable how much he has grown within this offense. Go back to the first week against Green Bay and even some of the preseason to the way he's doing it now. Now, granted, they're doing things a little bit different now. Part of it is time of the year, weather conditions. Granted, they had great weather conditions yesterday being in a dome. But, you know, other than that, you know, last week, San Francisco, you had a very slippery field. You've been playing in cold conditions here in Chicago. So you have to run the ball better. We all complained about the run game early in the season. They put the run game together in the last month. It's a strong part of the offense now. But the passing game has been, you know, I like to call it a ball control passing game. They haven't taken many big shots. They did Sunday, and I think part of the reason was it was because of the ideal weather conditions. So they took some shots downfield then. But before that, last few games before that, a lot of it was just a short ball control passing game, run clock, keep getting first downs, and not let the other team get the ball. And I think Mitch has really mastered that type of game. And his accuracy, or people were trying to, you know, look at his accuracy saying, wasn't that accurate? Well, his accuracy the last few weeks, it's been outstanding. You know, and his ball placement, the quickness he gets the ball out of his hand, you know, all of that, I think, has really been superb. And he has, you know, reached another level, and he's still not – I'm a Mitch Trubisky fan. I still don't think he's anywhere close to what he's going to be in another couple of years.
Did you do scouting work on Darren Sproles?
You know, I think I did, because I always had – now, I was here when he came out. In all honesty, I don't remember if I did a report on him. You knew about him. You knew that he had that specialness to him. But, you know, he was – there's a comparison between Sproles and Cohen. I think it's legitimate, except Sproles is bigger, meaning he's thicker. They're both about the same height, but – you know, Sproles is built like a bowling ball. He's a lot thicker in the lower body, but similar type players. And when you get them in one-on-one situations in the passing game against linebackers, they're going to win, you know, 80-90% of the time. And that's going to be a difficult thing for the Bears linebackers, because in Vic's defense, he has guys like Trevathan and Roquan Smith covering backs and even wide receivers man-to-man, and that's a difficult task when they're going to be up against Sproles.
I'm so impressed with him and his longevity in the league at his size, and he's been a real big reason why over the last few weeks the Eagles have found themselves in the playoffs too. Like, to have that type of playmaker, and I bristled whenever I heard people talk about Tariq Cohen in that way, because I hold Sproles in such high regard. But I think you're right. I think that Cohen has shown that he can be a weapon similar to what Darren Sproles does in his career.
Well, you know, Lawrence, I thought going into the year that the best way to utilize Cohen was to get him about 15 touches a game. And that was between receptions, rushes, and returns. And really, you look at it, that's just about been the number. Yesterday, they hardly used the ball, and I think that was – by design. Just, you know, they didn't need to. The game, yes, they went out to win the game, but they weren't going to win the game and get him beat up because he's going to be an important part of their offense, you know, the next few weeks, depending how far they get in the playoffs. But he can, I think what Philly asked Sproles to do and what the Bears asked Cohen to do are very similar. Sproles doesn't get the amount of touches, at least recently, as that Tariq gets, but at the same time, he makes every touch count, and he's capable of making that big play and make people miss at any time.
What do you think is the difference in this game on Sunday?
Part of it, home field, and which is funny because the last few years, when John was here, they didn't seem to have a home field advantage. You know, they were losing at home. They won one or two games in the last couple of years at home.
Yep.
You know, and now this year it's made a huge difference, and the crowd is behind them. So that part, weather isn't going to make a difference. The weather in Philly, the weather here, that's going to be similar, and it's supposed to be, you know, close to 40, 39, 40 on Sunday. So that'll play out. It's really going to, I think, the execution, how can the Bears defense disrupt the Eagles offense and put a lot of pressure on Foles. Foles is not a real nifty guy. He can't run around like Wentz can run around and like Trubisky can run around. So I think pressure will play big into that part of the game and make him force some throws, and that could lead to an interception or at least incompletions.
How happy are you for Chris Ballard and the Colts?
Oh, big time. You know, I hired Chris. I love him like a son. I think the job he has done in a short time is really tremendous. I don't think he had an idea how this team was going to be as good as it turned out to be, because, you know, we text back and forth all the time, and he just said, oh, my God, this defense is just – it's taking time for the defense. We can win with the offense, but the defense isn't there. Well, the last half of the season, the defense has been there, and that's what he's really proud about.
It's pretty cool seeing Andrew Luck come back and play as well as he's played, and there doesn't seem to be a more likable guy in the league than him, so I'm kind of happy for him too.
Yeah, and you know, Chris never thought he wasn't going to come back, and he wouldn't say that to me, and he's never going to say it publicly, but I think that, you know, there might have been some doubts. I mean, that's one of the reasons they traded for Brissett, I think, last year, because you just didn't know for sure. And I think part of the problem is that Andrew tried to come back too early and hurt himself and made the shoulder problem worse. And then he talked to the right people. He did rehab the right way, and he got himself 100% before he even picked up the ball and tried to throw it. And I think that had a lot to do with the success that he's had this year with the Colts.
Greg, thanks for the time. I appreciate you jumping on. I'm glad that we were able to talk about a bunch of different NFL topics.
Thanks for having me, Lawrence, and talk anytime.
That's Greg Gabriel. He's one of our experts here on The Score. Follow him on Twitter, at Greg Gabe. Hey, thanks for hanging out with me. I appreciate you. It's New Year's Eve night. I know that listening patterns are a little bit off. If you're not used to it, I'm Lawrence. It's my show. We're here usually 6 o'clock. We got a full show tonight, which is great because it gives us a chance to talk about the Bears from a bunch of different angles. Let me just tell you, on Thursday, I am going to be out at Players Club. That was a movie. At Players Pub and Grill, 1250 River Road in Prospect Heights, 8:30 to 10. So it's a little bit later, just 90 minutes. Me and Olin Krutz breaking down some Bears, talking some football, and I was at a wedding. I was talking about this in the 6 o'clock hour. I was at a wedding. My good friend, Hannah Banana, married Bob Rowe. Shout out to Mr. Rowe, who was very nice, loves The Score. They had the wedding at 2:30. The reception started at 7. So, you know, we're far away from where we're at. They got married in Park Ridge.
That's too late for a wedding.
No, it's fine. It actually works out well. On a Saturday, it's great. So we were like, well, we're not going to go home. We're not going to go all the way south to turn right around and come all the way back north. So Matt was like, well, let's find a place to go watch the game. Let's go watch the semifinal. I was like, yeah, let's go watch Clemson just kick the dog mess out of Notre Dame, because we all knew that that's what was going to happen. We're all ready for Clemson Bama 4. Hashtag Roll Tide. Sky Point. So she was like, let's go to this place. It turns out that we were at Players Pub. So we hung out there and watched the game. And I was like, ooh, I was looking at the menu. And she's like, why are you getting so excited? And I said, they have beer nuggets. She's like, what are beer nuggets? I said, I can't explain it. Just know you're going to love it. We ordered the beer nuggets. They were delicious. They were the best. No diss to DeKalb and Sycamore. They were the best beer nuggets I've ever had. Just all sorts of garlicly delicious beer nuggets. And now I'm doing the show there from Thursday. Their menu is off the chain. So beyond getting great football analysis from Olin Krutz and getting a chance to see the show, I can tell you that I have sampled the menu at Players Pub and Grill, and you're going to eat really well. I didn't even get to the desserts. And you know me, I love my sweets. The food was so good that I was like, I'm good. I'm good. And then, of course, Hannah and Bob had donuts at their reception. Shout out to them. I'm pretty sure they stole the idea from me. Because we had, I didn't know you back then, Tony, but we had donuts at our reception. Do you write?
I was told.
It was great. Our reception was pretty gangster. Like, we had a good time. Jay Illa was our DJ, the Bears DJ. Jay Illa, he's my DJ. Go, DJ. That's my DJ. And we had donuts for everybody. And then there was dancing and all sorts of stuff. But anyway, Players Pub and Grill, Thursday night, 8:30 to 10 p.m., Miller Lite Top Draft Show with Olin Krutz, the baddest man on the planet. It's going to be great. Take a break. We're going to let you hear from Matt Nagy coming up. I want you to hear some of the stuff that he had to say at his press conference today, and I want to talk about it as we dissect Bears versus Eagles. We're going to let the Bears head coach do a little bit of that next here on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So happy that we are your choice here on New Year's Eve. Bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Chicago Wolves. Chicago Wolves are off to their best start since their last Calder Cup championship. Join the Wolves Wednesday and Friday for Craft Beer Arena Beer Crawl Nights and enjoy free parking for the Wolves 25th anniversary sponsored by Kia. By the way, after I left the wedding, I went to the Wolves game Saturday night. It was bananas. Had a great time. Saw a lot of fans. Everyone who came up and said hello, thank you very much. It was very nice to meet you. We had a good time. And I am going to plan an outing. At some point, we'll take a big old group to the Wolves game. Tony, you're invited if you want to come.
Yes, I've never been to a hockey game. So,
like ever?
Yeah, ever.
What?
Yeah, why is that weird?
I don't know. I mean, because you kind of grew up in the era of the Blackhawks being great. So,
but, you know, two different Chicagos.
I know, but even still, you know, like the guy said on Channel 9, Blackhawks got black people liking hockey. So, all right, well, you're in. Tony, you're going to go with us to the Wolves game. That'd be a great first experience for you for a hockey game.
I will have questions.
That's fine. I'm sure plenty of people will be happy to share with you on that. I'm sure. All right, so 8 o'clock, we're going to talk with Derek Gunn of NBC Sports Philadelphia about the Eagles, and we'll get a scouting report on them. Chris Emma is going to join me in studio in a little while as well. But we're breaking down Bears and Eagles, and why not have the head coach of the Bears help break it down? There's some good stuff from Matt Nagy's press conference, but Tony and I went through it. And as much fun as it would be to relive the Minnesota game and them completely crushing their will and having Kirk Cousins look crazy on the sidelines and the time of possession disparity where the Bears just handled that, we don't even need to go through that. It's not worth our time. And Nagy went through it in his press conference, and I said to Tony, I was like, we don't even need it. We don't need that. We're on to Philadelphia, as Bill Belichick might say. So we wanted to hear Nagy talking about what happens now. What's he looking at? So that's the portion of the press conference that we pulled for you. Enjoy. Here's your head coach talking about the Bears' rise to the playoffs and their next opponent.
He is a great friend of mine. I have a ton of respect for him. And we texted last night a little bit. And, you know, I got to tell you, when I first got into this league, I was a below quality control coach. I was an assistant to the assistant. And Doug was a quality control coach. And then he got the QB job, and then I bumped up and got the quality control job, and then he got the OC job, and I became the quarterback. And so we keep following this path here. And so I told him at the owners' meeting this past offseason, I told him, so he got that Super Bowl, right? I'm trying to follow his lead here. And so he probably doesn't want to hear that right now, but I'm trying to stick on that path. But ton of respect for him. It's crazy to think 8 years ago that we were together, just that's when we first got our start working together, putting in lots of hours. And you go back to, I can still remember the day that we were sitting in his office watching tape on Nick Foles, and going back to seeing that and talking with Coach Reed. And it's amazing how fast time goes and how life is with just these people. And there's others, there's more people in that organization other than just Doug, but Doug and I were hip by hip for 6 years, and I think the world of him.
When you had Foles in Kansas City, it was a low point of his career. I think
it was.
You considered just giving it up.
Yeah, it was a low point. And go ahead.
What do you appreciate about that's only 2.5 years ago?
Nick is he's about as good of a human being as you'll find. You want to talk about people that do things the right way. Somebody that cares about others. Somebody that just wants to play for the love of the game. And he was at a low point then. And I think that goes to show what the kind of things that Coach Reed does as a head coach. Coach Reed has a history of bringing in people that are maybe at a low point and saving and resurrecting their careers. And I love that. I absolutely love that about him. I've learned that. I appreciate it. And I can still remember the day that Nick and I were in my car together when I picked him up from the airport. He came over to my house and was seeing my kids and just living life a little bit, just saying, you know, the things away from football. And we got him back up loving the game. You see what he's done, you know, last year and where he's at now. And so I have tons of respect for him.
How hard is it to do what he's been able to do the last year?
Yeah, it's not easy. You know, he'll what he did last year in Philadelphia was a special deal. He had a lot of guys around him, great coaches, great players. But again, I'm you guys have heard me say this. I believe truly that good things happen to good people, and he's an exact story of that last year.
Man, what did you learn as a coach from that experience last year in the playoff game against the Titans, especially the second half issues that you had, and how can that experience help you now?
Well, you learn from any criticism, you learn from any self-criticism that you give yourself, and you learn from you know, when you do things the right way, you try to do them, keep going. If you feel like what you're getting to is the whole thing of you didn't run the ball enough in that game. And so, you know, I always self-reflect, and there's times where, okay, how can I be better in these type of situations? So I'm using any of those experiences for me to make myself a better coach for the players. So for me, I think it all circles back to me just trusting in myself and believing in what I feel is the right thing to do. Just our coaches and everybody together. So every instance is different, and you just got to go with your gut feeling.
What was your self-analysis of that game?
Yeah, I was. There was one call. I don't even remember because I haven't watched it in a year. But I think there was one call that I might have wanted back, and it ended up being a call where we lost some yards on a run call. But I don't remember the exact situation. But I think there was one call in there that I really felt, I could have been better there. But
building off that, what have you learned overall, though, just from your experience coaching in playoff games?
What have I learned over just as a coach?
What
are
the differences maybe from intensity? Regular?
Well, the intensity is completely different. It's not even close. And I think that's the message that our guys got to understand, the guys that haven't been a part of it. That's what was so good about yesterday's game. They got to feel that. Yesterday, it wasn't a playoff game, but it was close to it. And so you those guys felt it, and they're on the road. It's everything's faster. It's a lot faster. There's a feel to it. You got everybody's there. Everybody's watching. It's just the good thing for us is we've had some Sunday night games, some Monday night games, some Thursday night games, where this isn't our first rodeo. So I know how our guys handle it, and now it's the deal that if you lose, you're done. If you win, you keep moving on. That's the only difference.
Did
Has anybody mentioned about the
I'm not gonna get into that right now. And the only reason I say that is this: there's a lot of distractions that start going on in these times, and not just those, not just with, because today's a rough day for a lot of families, a lot of people, and that's tough. But with us right now, I honestly, and I say this too, being from Philadelphia and from the East Coast, distractions. You know, we're not gonna get into that, and that would fall into that category. So I'm just gonna keep that between us right now.
I know your offense is unique, but it seems likely Philly's is probably going to resemble it as much as anybody in the league. Knowing that both defenses practice against it all year, does that present any special challenges for you?
Not necessarily. Just because there are some, you know, you go back and you see some of the things that Doug is doing, and there's some differences now. It's in the same family, right? But the concepts within there are different. He's got, you know, different coaches, run game, pass game that they do. And I think that's the fun part. As you branch off as a head coach, you get to put your own spin onto what you want to do. And Doug's done that. You can see that. But there are similar concepts within. And then you flip it to the other side with Coach Schwartz, and he sees similar concepts that we do. So whether or not that's an advantage, I think it's just by personnel.
I thought that was some cool stuff there from Matt Nagy talking about, one, following Doug Peterson around and having admiration, but also being driven by the success of a contemporary. And I think that there are a lot of people who can relate to that in whatever it is you do. I know that I can relate to that. I know it used to bother the hell out of me when I was first here at the Score. Like, Dan Zampillo and I were hired on the same day. And it was always like, I didn't get to move until he got to move. So I go from producing overnight to nights because he went from nights to afternoons, like that sort of thing. So I know that I can totally relate with him. And you say, now I want my opportunity to win a Super Bowl too. And it's right in front of Matt Nagy, which I think is very, very cool that he sees it for what it is. I do think these two teams mirror each other. And you've heard me talk about it with Anthony Heron tonight, and I've talked about it with Greg Gabriel. I do think there are a lot of similarities, which is part of the reason that I'm uncomfortable with this matchup. Of the three potential matchups, it was the one that made me the most uncomfortable. And I tweeted about it a few weeks ago. I think the Eagles were 6-6 at the time. I was like, I kind of don't want them in. Because Nick Foles seems to have whatever that pixie dust is, he seems to have it. And they respond to him. And they play well. And it is an attacking defense that I'm sure will look at some of the success that the Packers almost had against the Bears a couple weeks ago, where they put the blitzes on at the right time. They were doing it from different angles. They were blitzing corners, they're blitzing safeties, and they almost got home. The thing that the Bears used to win that game was not, I don't want to just say Mitch's mobility. Specifically in that game, I thought it was Mitch's strength in the pocket and then running, like his ability to fight off a tackle from a blitzer, and then, you know, getting 6 yards or 7 yards on a scramble. It's different from him saying, uh-oh, there's nothing going on downfield, I'm running. This was taking contact from blitzers and still ending up making a play. If those blitzers get home and get Mitch on the ground, the game looks different. But that's one of the reasons why the Bears are so excited about what he can turn into, that extra element. That game in particular reminded me, and it's a weird comparison because this guy is a lot bigger than Mitch. It reminded me a lot of Ben Roethlisberger. Young Ben Roethlisberger, not the corpse that's been out there for the last couple of seasons. But where you try to tackle Ben Roethlisberger, he just shake you off, Taylor Swift. And now we're seeing Mitch do that. And then making positive yards out of it. But I am fascinated on what this is going to look like. And it's one of those things where, since both guys know each other well, Does Nagy play to the play card? You know, on the top of the play card where it says, be you? If the other guy knows what you're doing, is it best to do that and just hope that your team executes better? Or do you trick him and go, I know this is what you think I'm going to do, but I'm going to do something different? Like, how far does the game of inception with these two guys go? Well, he thinks I'm going to do this, so I'm going to do that. But he knows that I'll probably do this instead of that, so I'll just do the thing that I was going to do first. Like, how far down the rabbit hole does it go?
See, here's my thing, is with Mitch Trubisky, I think he's the better player physically than Nick Foles, but I also think, I don't think he can move off the script like that. Like, if Nagy has a plan on how to attack, Mitch is going to try and follow that plan and stick close to it as much as possible.
Yep.
And I think Foles can, as a more seasoned player,
he can freelance a little bit. Yeah, he can make some plays that maybe are off time or off script, and those guys trust him, and they know where to be because they've seen it. It's a really interesting scenario that they, here we go, yo, that they have there in Philadelphia, where here you have this quarterback of the future who keeps getting hurt, no fault of his own, and this guy who was going to quit football. But he pops up, and the offense then looks different. Ashlon Jeffries gets involved in the game more. Is this the Alshon Jeffrey revenge game? No. He has a Super Bowl. He doesn't need any revenge. I'm sure it would make him smile if they beat the Bears. Is Trey Burton thinking that too? Is this the Trey Burton revenge game?
I wouldn't think that if I was him. He hasn't really gotten a lot of looks this year.
Philly special. Still won a Super Bowl ring, though. I'm kind of jacked up, man. This is going to be weird and fun. And the weather's supposed to be nice on Sunday. I don't think there's any advantage there. I'm waiting for Cheryl Scott to get back in town. Chicago's most beloved Philly Eagles fan. I'm waiting for her pick. She puts her picks out right on Instagram all the time. I think she's doing the New Year's Eve thing for Channel 7 tonight, too. But I'm wondering, is she going to be quiet this week? Or is she going to step up to the plate and say her Eagles are going to win? We're going to take a break. At 8 o'clock, we're going to get a scouting report on the Eagles from Derek Gunn, who works for NBC Sports Philly and covers the team, and he's covered the team for a really long time. So it's a guy who knows a lot of stuff. We'll do that at 8. I got some more Bear stuff that I want to throw at you from yesterday and going into the game against the Eagles. We'll do that next here on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back to the left of Trubisky is Howard. Tight end left side of the line, Shaheen. Snap, Trubisky giving to Jordan Howard. Howard searching for the goal line and punctures the end zone. He's in for the touchdown. His 8th rushing touchdown. Touchdown Bears. A run of 6 at a 6-0 Bears lead here in Minnesota.
Three receivers to the right. Snap is back. Sticks it in the belly of the back. Jordan Howard. He gets the end zone. He is in for the touchdown. Right up the middle in from the 1. His 2nd touchdown today. And the J train has the Bears up 13-0. Howard having himself a very good afternoon.
You best believe it, that call from Jeff Joniak and our sister station WBBM, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Jordan Howard yesterday, 21 carries, 109 yards. He averaged 5.2 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns for him yesterday. And the way that the Bears just said, hey, Minnesota, guess what we're going to do? We're going to run it. We're going to run it way more than we're going to pass it today. The Bears ran the ball 37 times yesterday for 169 yards. They averaged over almost 5 yards a carry. Mitch Trubisky threw the ball 26 times for 163 yards. It didn't matter. The Bears said, we can beat you this way. We can just hunker down and play defense and run the ball. The time of possession number I'm not a huge fan of using it to determine what happens in a game. You have to control the clock and all that. You know, it's a great old football adage. We do live in an NFL now where you can score quick, and time of possession might not matter. But in yesterday's game, it totally mattered. It totally told the story. It was very honest to what happened in the game yesterday. The Bears came out in this game and went on a six-play, 71-yard drive. In the first quarter, the Bears had the ball for 10 minutes and 26 seconds to the Vikings, 4 minutes and 34. The total time of possession battle being won by the Bears was 37 minutes to 23 minutes. But if you really want to know, if you really want to look inside the time of possession number for what happened yesterday, here's the only number that you need to know. In the fourth quarter yesterday, the Vikings held the ball for 3 minutes and 59 seconds. The team that was trying to come back, the team that was trying to rally from a couple scores down, and the Bears just punished them. In the fourth quarter, the Bears held the ball for 11 minutes and 1 second. You want to talk about domination? We are the nation of domination. This was it. And in there, you have a 16-play drive that spans 75 yards and ends in a touchdown. Minnesota had no chance yesterday. No chance in hell. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, do the Eagles pose a real threat? What is it that they've been doing to get into the playoffs? And where are the matchup advantages? We will do a look inside what they're doing when we talk with Derek Gunn next here on The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!